Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. Reaction Monday edition, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Duman. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and the twos here on this Thanksgiving week. JoJo, what's up?
Well, you know, as much as we bang on the Titans each week for being bad, this show today is a celebration of all they did right on Sunday versus the Houston Texans. Because I tell you what, that was one of the most complete, fun football games I've seen in this franchise in a long time.
Hang on. Before we do that, did you get your glasses from Bud Melman or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, man. I have a acute 9-degree astigmatism in both eyes, so it's pretty bad. So thank you for putting me down.
Shut up.
That's how you do that. It sounded good.
Dr. Great. I mean, like, what have we got going here today?
I honestly looks like my grandmother when she used to keep me when I was like 5.
Nani? Had
no,
glasses
my,
like these?
My other grandmother.
Oh, what's her name?
She's deceased now, but Granny Sis. Yeah, my Granny Sis.
That's a weird name, deceased.
Well, Joe, no. Come on, man.
What?
I said she is now deceased, but her name was Granny Sis.
Okay, yeah, Granny
we're not
Sis.
Even a minute into this.
My goodness. Yeah, where'd you get those frames at, Joe?
Nani's.
She never had those, so I promise you that.
Okay,
I got them. They fit good. They're fine. They're Dollar Tree.
Hey, you do you, man.
All right, thank you.
Are they just reading glasses?
They're something.
Okay.
Yeah, they're something. They're specs. Yeah. That's what they are. Yes, the Titans do go to Houston yesterday. They got a win. I was driving back from Florida, so I was in the car for a very long time and listened to the whole thing on the radio. Can you put that on mute?
Oh, my bad. I shuddered.
You know, they go down there, they get a win. They're still not a good team.
Oh, no.
Let's just – but
– That's not for today.
I know. Just let me finish.
No.
But I saw something that I've really seen the last three games that finally they got rewarded for it yesterday. You know, we were worried about had this team quit, was Brian Callahan in over his head – and I think at one point in time, that those statements were sort of accurate. Like the in over his head part was accurate. What's happened now is I think he's become a better play caller. He and Levis have gotten on the same page. And you saw the results yesterday. Is it perfect? Absolutely not.
Right.
Levis is still going to make mistakes. But if you can live with that and you can actually put a good team around him, then okay. Then maybe you have something.
All right, Dr. Crane, this is Will Levis to Brian Callahan.
I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man.
So good.
Good job, Dr. Crane. Look, I'm telling
can
you.
Can we just play this now? Can
right?
I just
play the whole album for the next 2 hours.
Talking about the line
he's Brett Favre 2.0, and you could call in and you could rip us apart, but I'm telling you, Brett Favre in 1992-93 did the same things Will Levis did. He made those mistakes. The triple coverage he threw into yesterday for the pick six, that's Brett Favre. Now, you can say, well,
that was a terrible throw.
Awful. But what terrible did he come throw. Back and do? He kept attacking.
And that was the big thing for me. He
yes.
kept attacking because – there have been times where he makes a mistake like that and they just compound on themselves and he makes them over and over
yep.
again. But he was able to jump back from that, get it out of his head. The big thing to me is I think him sitting out those games, and I know he was hurt, but I think they probably could have pushed it if they wanted to on some.
Yeah, sure.
But him sitting out, it gave him an opportunity to step back and watch things from a different perspective. And more importantly, it gave him and Brian Callahan opportunity to get on the same page.
Well, now
you and Brian Callahan to grow as a play caller because he knew he had a veteran quarterback that could run it the way he wanted to.
Yeah, and one of the biggest plays yesterday is Calvin Ridley's blocking downfield when he didn't get the ball was almost immaculate. Yeah. And the receiver's blocking down the field and doing all that. But I'm telling you, and don't text in and say, well, Brett Favre. Look, I'm talking year two and three, 92, 93, Brett Favre, early in his career. Same thing. He made so many dumb mistakes, but Holmgren's like, how many people can throw the deep ball with a zip like that? Not many. And they took chances yesterday, and they threw the ball down the field. And we even started talking about Jeffrey Simmons, who yesterday earned every penny. He disrupted so much.
That's the Jeffrey Simmons you have to have.
And it was an amazing. So as much as we, like I said, again, as we bang on the Titans all year, that was a good win against a good football team. And I don't know, you can sit here like, well, the Texans are overrated, whatever. Look, the record is what the record is. And you went down there and you punched them in the face, and I loved it.
I said to a friend last night, I was like, I just want to see Will Levis behind a good offensive line. Put him behind a good offensive line. And let me see what it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I know what you mean by with the Brett Favre comparison. He's not Brett Favre. He's not going to be Brett Favre. He's just making, you know, some similar things.
Yeah.
But if you put him behind a good offensive line and then you get him some more weapons, as great of a story as NWI is, he needs more than that in Calvin Ridley. You do that, you get him some – consistent tight end play. You'll take it. You know, like it might not be Brady-esque or Manning or Brett Favre or Rodgers or whatever, but he can be decent. And then you can fill the other holes that you need to fill.
Yeah, I get all that. But let's just talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday, nobody gave them a chance to win. They had no shot at anything. And we talked like, well, this could get ugly. Texans got a great defense. Great play calling, great blocking, great push up front, great back seven getting their job done in defense. I mean, it was a complete game. And don't come here and say because Fairbear missed a field goal, they lost the game. No, no. Titans won that game. They deserved to win. They played better in every aspect of the game yesterday and really confused C.J. Stroud yesterday. I just thought, and look, Denard Walker, what's the D coordinator?
Wilson.
Denard Wilson. What? Denard Walker.
Former I do Titan. That too. I okay. do that too, yeah.
God bless you, man. He brought pressure. That when C.J. did the Orlovsky and stepped out of bounds and all that stuff, when Landry got back in there, he brought the pressure. All too often, and I think we've seen now against football and college and the pros, you sit back and run the 6-7-8-man prevent. You rush three guys. You've guys all day to throw the ball. Look, a quarterback does not like to be rushed. And they got in C.J. Stroud's face yesterday and made him rush and made him uncomfortable. And that's a big part of why they won the game yesterday.
So I texted John McClain in the middle of the game.
Oh, God, he have a heart attack?
No. Stop that.
Was he mad? No, mad because he was so – did you read his tweets yesterday?
No, I was driving. I need to go read them. I texted him, man. And I just said, hey, who is this playing quarterback for the Titans? I'm not familiar with him. And he goes, Warren Moon.
Man, John was on a ledge yesterday because he was right because the Texans, they were playing terrible because of what the Titans were doing to them. So kudos. I don't know what Amy Adams got the game ball afterwards. I think that was the part they talked about. So anyway, well done. Well done in all aspects of the game. The special teams still, it's a long way to go for that.
And we can focus on the positives today. That's fine. There are still a lot of issues with this team. Let's not pretend that they're all fixed based on yesterday's game or, you know, how Levis has played the last three. He has played decently the last three games, even though they only have one win. Since he came back from the injury, I have seen an improved Will Levis. You agree?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's something to build upon. You know, maybe now it's like, okay, you know, we were all done with him. We were like, we've seen enough. He's terrible. But, you know, this is why you got to let it play out and do the whole season. And it's like, okay, the last three games, I have seen signs of improvement. If you can build on that, then you might be okay. But they're not going to go on this miracle run and win, you know, seven or eight in a row or whatever it is. I guess it would have to be six in a row to get to 9-8. That's not going to happen. But, you know, it's still fun to be able to talk about a win in the fashion in which they got it. It wasn't pretty. You know, they did things to try and lose it. Houston did things to try and lose it. But at the end of the day, they played full 60. They won the game. and we're sitting here talking about a victory today.
I'm trying to look at a category here for ugly wins, and I don't, man, I don't see it.
They don't. I get it. A win is a win.
Is it on my, am I in the wrong standings?
No.
Look, you're right. A win is a win, and we could hammer all year what's going wrong, but you look, you're only as good as your last game, and their last game was pretty damn good. And they made Houston miserable in every aspect of that, and I love it. We got a Stonehouse has to stop. We talk with Brett Kern each week.
Yeah.
He's out kicking his coverage.
They're going to be losing. They're looking for a punter.
15, 20 yards. Can you not teach him to kick it higher? I don't know anything about
punting. No, he has no hang time.
Zero.
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking
for a punter. You have better hang time than him.
Well, I don't know about that.
And a better vertical.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to find John's tweets.
Yeah, he was not a happy guy.
He was upset about Joe Mixon all day yesterday.
He's the best.
I kept getting this, oh, that 1 yard for Joe Mixon. I'm like, John, he's got a, I don't know what to tell you, bud, but they're throwing interceptions and not running the ball.
He is a great follow when the Texans are melting down. He is a great follow. Because one day they were melting down and the food in the press box was bad, so he just doubled up on everything. And I was like, he's the greatest. He is so much fun to follow when things are going bad. Yeah. Woo!
How about this Texans offense? MJ Stewart called for a 15-yard penalty for a blindside block on the punt return, giving them the ball at the 8. Then Simmons destroyed Scruggs for a 7-yard sack to the 1. Then Landry sacked Stroud in the end zone for a safety.
That's just, he was just, and you know he's tweeting that with just mad fingers too as well. And also, you know, the kicking thing yesterday, kickers.
Yeah. Kickers, man. It happens.
Yeah, you know, the announcer crew, you were coming back from Florida, but the announcer crew was like, oh, this is basically, I don't know Dr. Crane, but they were like, this is the greatest kicker of all time. He's made 12 from beyond 50.
They said he was like in a different tax bracket than every other kicker. I was like, what makes him so special? And he misses like a 15-yard chip shot.
Well, I think the thing is, if you're kicking a 55-yarder, there's no pressure. Like, oh, he's at 55 yards, you're not going to make it. A 24-yarder? Yeah. There's pressure on that because you should make that.
Yeah.
And they were, and Jay Feely was like, oh, he's the greatest, all that. And then how many 50-yarders you got, Jay? And how big party and hug each other and everything else. And he missed that field goal, and I was like, ha ha, kickers.
Yeah, so I was driving, but I listened to Titans radio. And, you know, I will say I think credit, you should give credit where credit is due. Mike Keith does a tremendous job.
Oh, he's
excellent.
Awesome.
And you know, I love him and Coach Mack and just the call they have. And it, I felt like I was right there. That's what makes that's what makes a really good play-by-play person on radio, especially.
Yeah.
If you can close your eyes, don't do it while you're driving, and envision being there. You know, just the description that Mike has. So I really enjoyed being able to – I mean, I'll listen obviously here and there, but most of the time I'm watching the game. To be able to listen from kickoff to the end of the game – to Mike tell the story was really cool.
He's good, so, man. He's really good doing that.
615-737-1025. It is a reaction Monday. Titans beat the Texans in Houston. A gutsy 32-27 win. Your thoughts on that? I want to hear from the Levis haters. Have you changed your mind a little bit? Because I was one, and I've changed my mind a little bit. I've seen signs of improvement.
Right.
615-737-1025. We'll get into that and much more. Chasing Big Joe on a Monday, 1025, 1063 The Game. It's got what it takes. So tell me, why can't this be love? Straight from my heart. Oh, tell me, why can't this be love? Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Great song. Bring us back. Dr. Crane read my mind. That's pretty crazy.
I thought I did something wrong. I was like,
No. It's just, you read my mind. That's an interesting one. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. As the Titans get the win yesterday in Houston, taking your reaction, 615-737-1025. But the doubters, the haters of Will Levis, has the last, I'm not even saying just yesterday. You really have to look at the last three games as a whole, because I think he's been better since he got back from injury. Have you maybe changed a little bit, changed your mind a little bit? So 615-737-1025. Jared from Spring Hill. As a hater of the team for a couple seasons, yesterday made me respect them a little bit more. Okay, that's fair. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Sorry, I was just the thing. I looked at that up there and it had gone blank. So oh, okay. I was kind of freaking out.
All good.
All right, what do you say? I'm sorry.
As a hater of the team for a couple seasons, yesterday made me respect them more.
Why were you a hater?
I think a lot of people are just tired of the, you know.
Yeah, I think hate's a strong word. I think you'd be upset, mad. But not, I mean, don't be a hater. But, I mean, yeah, but they put together this game every year. They do this every year. And yesterday was a great example of that once-a-year thing where they get it done.
Larry says, 2 years ago when we signed Nick Folk, Jared went on a rampage on how the heck can we sign a kicker that can't hit a 50-yard field goal. After yesterday's game, has he proven Jared wrong, and will Jared admit it? I don't know. He starts at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Chances I know y'all are- think because I'm his boss that I'm going to make him change or whatever. I'm not, so stop asking me to.
Listen at 2 o'clock today. That's what happened. I mean, Folk has been great. And can we stop because he turned 40? You know I'm on this kick of like – just, you know, it's like, well, you know, Calvin Ridley's going to be 30 and Derrick Henry, and they're going to – these guys are phenomenal athletes. You know, I'm not a fan of kickers, but he can still go to the gym and squat and do leg lifts and be strong as hell. Stop with the age thing.
Here's an interesting text. Mike says, the guy took 5 sacks that were solely his fault from holding the ball too long. He's a bum.
He did do that.
He did. Look, I'm not going to deny that. He did. Half the sacks were on the line. Half the sacks were probably on Levis.
And I will go back, and I'm going to toot my own horn because I tweeted this out. Like, stop dropping him back 5 to 7 steps. Be quick with him. 3-stop, boom. Slant routes, boom. Dig routes, boom. Stop routes, boom. Roll him out of the pocket. Bootleg. Get him going. Get him moving. Don't let him sit back there because the O-line sucks. Skoronski's put on his ass again yesterday multiple times. Stop doing that.
J.C. Latham wasn't very good either.
What? Do you have those games? And that's a hell of a defensive end for Houston. Those games are going to happen. And, you know, get Levis out of the pocket. Get him moving around. Was the pass to Chig a bootleg?
It was play action. Now, so here's what was interesting about that. So, again, I listened to the whole broadcast. And Callahan goes on with Mike Keith after the game, either before or after he does the press conference. Okay. I think it's before he does the press conference. And Mike asked him, point blank, was the play to Chig designed to have that result? And Callahan was real quick to say, no, I was just trying to get a few yards to make it easier on us. I had no idea that, I guess it was the safety, was going to bite like he did and leave him wide open.
Yeah.
That was just supposed to gain like 3 or 4 yards.
And look, and the angles were awful, but Chig got the ball and just made a beeline to the end zone.
I went back and watched that because I was like, all right, I heard it. I need to see this play. And I'm like, I don't know what the defense was doing there.
Right.
Like, what are you got a tight end that, you know, he's not supposed to take off like that, and you left him wide open.
There's a
wide open field.
There's a great quote by Wayne Gretzky, and Pete Weber and I were talking about this one time.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't pick?
No, don't go to where the puck is. Go to where the puck is going.
Yeah, right.
For the Houston Texans defense, they were going to where Chig was.
Yeah.
Go to where,
not where he was going.
He was going, and he just took off. I thought that was just a fantastic – everything on that worked perfectly. But, again, get – and the texter's right. Stop having him sit back there and trying to pick him up. Make those things quick. If it's not there, then take off running. But you can't have him stand back there all day.
This was Brian Callahan in the post game about Chig Okonkwo's play.
It doesn't get any better than that. I normally wasn't calling a drive starter on a movement play to get 70 yards. But what happened was is they were essentially doubling Ridley, and they took their eyes off him, and the action was off front side with all the pullers. You know, we run that run quite a bit, and it was just a compliment off the run. And Chig usually pins that defensive end, and he just slipped past him, and all the linebackers went running. And as they were doubling Rid, there was just no eyes on him, and there was nobody left to tackle him. And then he did the rest with his feet, and Chig's a big, strong, fast dude when he's going full speed.
Oh, I love hearing that. I mean, that's like opening a birthday present. That feels good. That sounds good. That is football, man. That is executing a play and just shoving it down the other team's face. Man, I love that. I loved hearing that.
So here's what I'm going to say on Levis, though. My concern remains that he can't process the game fast enough. Here's what I mean by that. The sacks, he's holding onto the ball too long because he's going through read one, read two, read three, read four. Like that, to me, that's how it's coming across, that he's processing.
Okay.
If he has a better offensive line, he can get away with that a little bit more. But even with a good offensive line, read one, two, three. Like, you got to get rid of it. Mariota had that problem. He never got over it. That's my concern.
Well, Mariota would throw at your feet. That was the problem there.
You know, Levis will do that sometimes too. I'm not trying to be negative. He played outside of his debut game. That might have been his best game.
Negative Nelly over here, Dr. Crane.
Do you agree or disagree?
No, it was. I thought Miami, the second half of Miami was vintage.
Yeah, sure.
It was good. But I agree with you on that as well. That's why get him out. He's young and learning. And that, again, we go back to Favre. Favre did the same thing. He would sit, and then get crunch. I'm telling you, man, the examples between him and an early Brett Favre are almost dead identical in everything. Now, Favre was able to develop, and he had great receivers, and he had a great offensive line. But Levis, man, I mean, it was – I get it. You can't stand back there and do it because I think he's a little afraid, a little timid.
Yeah.
You can't do that. That's why I like the deep shots afterwards. Just fire the ball down the field. Take the shots. Maybe it don't work. When they're on the goal line, they threw the NWI, went over his head. They knew it was coming. I still like the play call of doing that because you never know. It might hit. Just might hit.
John from the Borough says, I guess the ball is bouncing our way.
Oh.
615-737-1025. Kenny the mailman wants to weigh in. Kenny, what's up?
Yes. Fellas, how are y'all doing?
We're good.
Doing fine today.
It's so much better to call after a win than a loss.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, just a quick agreement. I want to talk about the 15-yard personal foul, if I can, for a minute. And it's not the one in the Texans-Titans game. It's the one I heard at the start of the show today.
Oh, no. What was that?
Joe, anytime the word deceased is mentioned and then followed by sweet granny, oh, there's no more joke after that. We're going to learn from that and move on, just like Levis and his blocking. If you hear the word deceased and granny, stop right there.
Well, hold on. I simply asked him, what was her name? And he said, she's deceased. So the joke is like, oh, that's a weird name. And so that's a Norm MacDonald joke. I'll move on. But thank you.
That's right there. That's that fine line between being genius and doofus. So
I'm right on the fence.
That line. But right. I enjoy listening so much. And I know the guy is grinning whose granny you was talking about. All my best to y'all.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Love you, man.
He's the best. 615-737-1025. Keep the reaction coming. We'll get more of your texts, more of your phone calls on the Titans' win in Houston yesterday. And more specifically, Will Levis, have you changed your mind a little bit? 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game.
Okonkwo, he's got some inside Texans territory, inside the 35, 30, 25, 20. He may go. Stiff arm, end zone. Touchdown, Titans.
You're going to see right here, all he's going to do is just drag right across and get a matchup with the linebackers. Nobody stays with him. He's wide open, and then he has the ability, the game-breaking speed, to be able to bust it open. It's the play I've been waiting on for this offense to put run all game.
Well, he did it a bunch his rookie year.
Yeah! Oh, little grease lightning. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I hope this is the edited version.
It is. I told him. I said, skip the first verse. Do that. I had a friend that was at a bar when that happened, and he said the entire bar, and this is what I love about it. You still get a lot of passionate Titans fans. When they realized what was going on, like the bar, like in unison, went bananas over that run by Chig. So I love it. Good job, Dr. Crane. Well done.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll see what you got next. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the Titans' win yesterday and what it means moving forward.
Here's how, real quick, let me interrupt you. I was so ready for a Titans loss that I already had our college football topic ready to go about rushing the field.
Yeah.
I already had that ready
to
go.
We'll have to save that.
Yeah, save it. I was like, I'd much rather talk about this than rushing the field. So thank you, Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans.
This is an interesting text. It seemed like in post-game interviews, all the players were saying this win was for Miss Amy. Shouldn't every win be for the person who's paying you millions of dollars?
Yeah.
It's kind of fair.
Well, who said they understood this game always means a little bit more? Was it Jeffrey Simmons?
Maybe. Yeah, because Bud basically made it a point of you go down there and you beat their you-know-what.
Yep.
Like, that's what – by the way, I love the double bird.
It's just. And then somebody texts me and is like, you know, that was for the Buffalo game, not this game. I'm like, you know, Bud's been dead 10 years, right? So he couldn't have done it for this game. Right. I get it.
I know. Brandon says, I think we've gotten to where we expect these quarterbacks to be elite from day one. People forget that greats like Brady Mahomes spent time developing as a backup. Levis hasn't really gotten that opportunity. He makes a share of mistakes, but there's no denying his athleticism and talent.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We've said that. We talked about that, you know, with Jeff Fisher, of the plan of sitting McNair, and they sat McNair for 2 years and how beneficial that was. I flat out asked him, do you think if Vince had had a full year to back up McNair, now he did have Kerry Collins, but a full year to back up McNair, if that would have changed things? He said yes. I mean, so, you know, these coaches and these GMs, like, especially the old school ones, know that a guy needs time. College systems and NFL systems are completely different.
Yep.
But with the money and the contracts and the way that it's not for long, they're forcing these guys in, and a lot of times they flame out because they just don't have time to develop.
That's why, I mean, C.J. Stroud, still in his second year.
And you're seeing the sophomore slump. The league's figured him out.
You're exactly right. And they are – and you know, Phil Simms talked about this. When he got drafted by the Giants, first thing, it was like, hey, I'm going to run through this first time. He had quick delivery. He was good. Then they got to him and figured him out. And he's like, I had to get better and dig down and be good. And Phil Simms is not the elite quarterback, but he did win a Super Bowl. He had a great career with the Giants. We talked about the development of a quarterback and what comes next, because you are playing against the best – in college, you're playing against the good, right? You got to get some good players. In the NFL, the best of the best that you got to play against, and you got to adapt that game. That's why I love Denard Wilson blitzing and bringing the pressure yesterday on C.J. Stroud, because he's not seen a lot of that pressure all year long. Look, I thought it was just a well-drawn-up game plan. The guys executed the plays as they were called, man.
Dave in Old Hickory says, I still don't think he gets a second contract with this team, but he has shown some improvement. Improvement being relative, he still stinks.
What? But he's got another 2 years, right?
Sure. And I think that's kind of what I'm glad to see, because in a perfect world, you know, I mean, look, yesterday was great. I want to see that effort. If they win more games, that's fantastic. That's the whole point of playing football, is to go out there and win. But realistically, they're probably going to be picking, you know, anywhere from fourth to like seventh.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to have happen is Levis show you enough that you can go, okay, we don't have to burn that pick on a quarterback. You know, I still would explore, you know, drafting one later or bringing a veteran in, what have you. But you don't have to burn that pick on a quarterback, and you start filling all these holes that you need to fill, starting with the offensive line. You got to draft another tackle. You just have to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no way around it. They have put this off long enough. They won't admit that they put it off. They don't have a right tackle. I'm not telling the right tackle story, but they don't have a right tackle, and this Band-Aid crap that they've done hasn't worked.
Petit Frere was awful yesterday, but one play he pulled and got to the outside, and there was a DB in his way. He pushed the DB so far, I think the DB ended up in Austin. I mean, he launched him. And I'm like, that's what I want to see, a little of aggression, a little fire. I get pissed off a little bit and do that. Somebody we hadn't talked about, but and this is going to be a hot take, and you guys can text in and blow me up. I don't care. But I'm telling you, right now, behind this team, Tony Pollard is a better player than Derrick Henry behind this team, because Pollard sees nothing inside, pops outside, shifty, quick, can do that. Derrick Henry's not that way. He's straight on power. The Ravens got a good O-line. They clear out the hole for him. He's good to go. Titans' offensive line is not that good. Pollard, watch him bounce outside and get the extra yard. To me, he's been the best pickup for this Tennessee Titans football team. Tony Pollard is a great running back.
He is.
And you saw it yesterday.
He is. What I want to see happen is I want the 1-2 punch. I really wish, you know, Tajay would get going too. But
we'll call him up.
But yeah, I'll do that in the break, okay? But, you know, Tony Pollard has been fine. Like, this complaining about, how could you let Henry go? Like, I mean, your run game's not the issue. And it hasn't been. So, that I think you can get over. 615-737-1025. Michael has a take on Will Levis. Michael, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've always been a Levis believer. I started to wane a little bit earlier this season, but with the way he's been playing the last few weeks, I'm starting to get behind him. I think he deserves at least another year of being the full-time starter, because I'm not a huge fan of the quarterbacks coming out of this class anyway. And another thing that's helped that for me, that happened even before the game, y'all probably saw this, but when Shedeur Sanders pushed that ref, that told me all I needed to know about him. So that eliminated another possibility of quarterback from this team. And I was like, that just makes my decision a lot easier. I know I'm not the one making decisions, but I would rather stick with Levis than deal with anything with that family, with Shedeur Sanders, his dad, anything like that. So I'm all in on Levis, at least through next year, with a better line, a couple more weapons, and I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
Yep. Great call. Great call.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. I'm gonna tell you right now, I've been saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't want Shedeur Sanders. I don't want to entertain the thought of Shedeur Sanders. There's too much that's going to come with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a talented, talented kid. I don't take anything away from that. I felt this way about Anthony Richardson. I didn't think he was an NFL quarterback. I'm being proven right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be an NFL quarterback. I think he'll be a great athlete, but I don't think he'll be an NFL quarterback. And I think also when you draft him, you're drafting daddy, and that's going to get in the way too.
Yeah.
I don't want it. They don't need it.
Right.
They don't need that drama. You know, I heard Robbie mention this morning. If you're picking fourth or whatever, and Cam Ward's on the board, and everything your scouts are telling you and that your gut's telling you, and you have everything that says taking Cam Ward is the decision, taking Cam Ward is going to make us, you know, going to get us over the hump and we're going to win a Super Bowl, then go ahead and take Cam Ward. But I don't think any of these quarterbacks in this draft are going to be the game changers that you need if you're going to take a quarterback with a, you know, top 10 pick. So go ahead and fill the holes you need to fill. If they walk across the stage and Roger Goodell says the Tennessee Titans select tackle out of, you know, wherever, y'all are going to be pissed, you know, be pissed about it, and you're going to complain.
Well, they should.
And that's fine. But in a few years, when you have, you know, two just brick you-know-whats at both your tackle positions, and those are the best tackles in the league, and you have, you know, Roos and Stewart again, you're going to be happy.
Well,
I don't care.
You
just
have
get
a
the
reason
offensive line
to
fixed.
Complain because you drafted Skoronski. This sure, staff, I, this I, staff I, drafted Skoronski.
I agree. Not this coaching staff, but this, yes, the
coaching,
Rand,
the coaching
yes.
staff doesn't draft. The scouts in the front office take the picks, and he's terrible. He's terrible. Radens is better than Skoronski, which is crazy because Radens isn't
right
that
now,
much better.
Yeah.
But I get they have a right to complain like that. But if I'm Will Levis, I'm going to go out there and do two things. Win ball games for the Titans, whatever it takes. Win ball games and make the decision for the front office so difficult about where you go next year as far as a quarterback. Look, the last three games, gets the Chargers got a great defense. He played well. The Texans allegedly had a good defense. He played well. What was the game before that they lost here?
His first one back?
Yeah. What was that?
Chargers.
Oh, it's the game. Vikings,
yeah.
Played well.
It was Chargers, then Vikings, then Texans.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, I'm so stupid. He's played well. So, look, man, keep going, keep executing. They know what they've got with him. That's why I wanted to see the deep shots, the quick slants, to get the passes out, the bootlegs. Let him do all that stuff and make him a weapon if you can.
Yeah.
And they did it yesterday. I'm telling you.
He's showing some confidence.
As much as we have slammed them all year long, that was a beautiful game plan and passes and things executing. If he doesn't do the stupid flip in Chicago, they win that game. Right?
Yep.
We know that.
Yep.
And if they don't let and make some stupid mistakes against the Jets and let them hang around, they beat the Jets.
Yeah, now, he did another stupid thing.
I know we play revisionist history, but you can sit there and be 5-6, but be confident in all that. You lost the Colts the last second. Look, again, let everything be uncomfortable as far as the front office goes with him. You get another chance on Sunday against the Commanders, who are going to be hurting after a tough loss to the Bills. To the Cowboys, I'm sorry. But go out and make something happen on Sunday.
And here's the other thing, put up more than 20 points. The three wins they have, they put up 20 or more points. Two of those three wins, they put up 30 or more points.
Wow. Do you know, and I don't know if you know this, but if you score more than the other team.
I saw that on the Unathletic.
You have a 96% chance of winning.
96, huh? Speaking of stats, let me read this one real quick. I saw this. So Paul Kowarski tweeted this out. Per Mike Sando, After Will Levis did it in Houston, starting quarterbacks are now 3-33 since 1960 when taking 8 sacks and having an interception returned for a touchdown.
That is a great
Isn't that crazy?
That is a great stat.
3-33 when taking 8 sacks and throwing a pick six.
Did Burrow in the playoff game here, he didn't have a pick six, did he?
I don't remember. He was sacked 9 times, right?
Nine times. Yeah. Oh, man. Also, last night, watching A.J. Brown.
I didn't watch any of the game. I didn't listen to it. I had a 90s country jam session.
Good for you.
And it was awesome.
We got therapeutic. Saquon Barkley's MVP of the league. Go ahead and give it to him. He's great. 255 yards last night.
I think the guy in Baltimore may have something to say about that, but.
Saquon, man.
Saquon's pretty good. I'll give you that.
It's going to be a tight race for the best offensive player for sure.
When they did the RPO and there was no linebacker at the second level and it was just daylight, I'm like, he could have walked in from Santa Cruz. But A.J. Brown, it's our A.J. Brown therapy session. It's going
to
hurt.
You've got to.
I can't, Chase.
It's kind of like the
ex-girlfriend.
It's the ex-girlfriend that you loved her to death and
you do
anything to get her back.
I look at her Instagram.
You got to let her go.
I can't.
You got to let her. You had some great memories.
Yeah.
But you got to let her go. That's A.J. Brown. Man. You know, it sucks because you look at it, you're like, hey, we were perfect together, but you just got to let her go. That's how it is.
Goodness.
So 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Titans have the fewest 10-play drives in the NFL. They're going for it all. They've got it all. Westbrook Akine. He beat Derek Stingley. It's 38 yards, and the Titans take the lead.
Such a great song. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Life is a dance. The Titans are dancing that dance right
now. Keep it going. It's a good tune.
Whatever happened to him?
He's hanging around. Still popular.
Does he still play?
What happened to him?
I don't know. I mean, he was huge in the 90s.
They put him out to pasture.
I don't know.
No, 90s country, as you well know.
Oh, God.
It's still popular. I want to see them. I want to see Callahan and Will Levis two-stepping at Billy Bob's.
Can I take a minute to just go on a tangent for a second that's not sports related at all? Just hang with me and then we'll get back to the Titans.
Can we keep the song going?
Yes. Okay. Keep it going. So when I drove down Wednesday night, I did two 12-hour drives because I'm dumb, I guess. But when I was driving down to Florida, I listened to the CMA awards. They had them on Sirius XM. I was like, cool, this will keep me entertained. So I listened to the CMAs. I love country music. I will always love country music, but it's so different now. It's just not what this was. And then on my way back, I just listened to a 90s country playlist, and it was a deep cut one too. Like John Michael Montgomery, Colin Ray.
Doug Stone.
Philip Supernaw's dad was on it.
Doug Supernaw? Yeah.
Like, I mean, I miss those days. And there are some new artists that you can tell where their influences came from. Like, I think Luke Combs is kind of a throwback.
Cody Johnson's
kind of a throwback. Wallen has his moments, but he's a little overproduced, I think.
Zach Topp is definitely one.
Yeah, right.
It's like Alan Jackson modern day.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, I love that it's kind of coming back around. But it just, you know, I miss the old days. Growing up in this city and growing up in country music, and I know we're Music City, not just country music anymore. But, you know.
I mean, that's like Brooks and Dunn. I mean, they were on the show the other night with Best Part of the
awesome.
Show.
It was awesome. And what they that's the song Believe, which is a great song, that they did with Jelly Roll.
Yep.
It was a fantastic performance. Like, in that, they have the Reboot 2 album, and I listened to it, and it's okay. I mean, but it's just you just kind of see how the industry's changed.
Well, you look at, you know, who got the Eagles back together, a 90s country star.
Travis Tritt.
Yep.
Because he covered Take It Easy.
Yep. They did tribute to the Eagles, and he got them back together. I'm with you, man. I working in the bars back in the 90s. Because
didn't Henley sing backup on that?
I don't remember.
I think he might have. I could be wrong.
It's one of the greatest songs ever.
It is. 615-737-1025, taking your reaction to the Titans. They win yesterday in Houston.
By the way, that was longer than a minute.
It's whatever.
How long
you go on tangents longer than a minute sometimes.
How long were your drives?
12 hours.
Titans had a couple of nice drives yesterday too as well.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Nice tie in there. Let's go back to the phones. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in. Adam, what's up?
Well, John Michael Montgomery, he put letters from home out there. He's got some bangers, dude. He's just getting old. That's all. But he's still a killer, dude. I agree. So here's my thing, man. I'm happy today, and I'm so thrilled. Even if we're dropping down the draft slot a little bit, I'm fine with that. I would rather be happy with my football team. My problem is that, number one, I haven't really heard anybody address it. I really would have liked to see Mike Brown light that dude up in the end zone. I feel like you were scared to because you got unnecessarily flagged last week. So I hate that. Number two, special teams is not moving with the rest of the team. I understand when you got coaching changes that it happens, right? Like it's going to be like learning periods. They're not getting Kendrick and Nedney and all these guys where you don't think about special teams. Like you not necessarily have anything special great happening, but you don't have blunders. And it's like one or two a week. So I'd say fire Cole Anderson. Even after a win, just be like, just come out and be like, hey, he's not moving in the direction we're moving. I'm going to fire him. I'm going to let somebody else keep the momentum that we built going. I would absolutely fire him today, dude.
Nobody's getting fired. If he had been fired, it'd been a couple of weeks ago. He's not – the first-year coach is very rarely going to fire somebody. I'd be shocked if he did.
Yeah, well, I think at the end of the year you're going to have to. Like, that's going to be the discussion. You know, Amy's going to sit down because I've been outspoken on what I think should happen and that, you know, I think you should bring in somebody else to pick the players. My guess is they're not going to do that. But especially if they have more games like yesterday, they're, you know, everybody's going to get another year, which is that's her prerogative. That's fine. And if you can improve upon all this, then I'll be the first to get on here. I will walk up to Rand Carthon and shake his hand and say, hey, man, I was wrong. It was nothing personal.
He'd be like, get out of my house.
And that's – and, you know, I'll be calling you like, clean Joe, come get me.
I'm living out of my car. I got a room for you. Special teams across the league are terrible. Let's get it out there. So bad.
The league is terrible.
Yes.
In general.
It's really bad. But was that – now, Dr. Crane, did you watch a game yesterday? Is he lost in thought?
I think he was doing his update.
Oh, I'm so sorry, buddy. Never mind. Did you watch a game yesterday?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, and another Chase was driving back. On the punt return by the Texans, the opening punt return, was that a design play where he runs up to a bunch group, everybody collapses, and he sprints out, and a guy sets the edge? I'm having a tough time figuring that out.
Yeah, I mean –
because if it's a design play, it's brilliant.
Yes and no. If that's possible to say, because I feel like in this new modern era of the kickoff, you kind of want that to happen. Because if you saw in the Cowboys game, Kevontae Turpin kind of did that on purpose. He missed the ball. Everybody kind of crashed in.
To the one spot, yes.
And then he made a spin move, and then he had a lane. So in your case, I think so in the Houston game. I think so.
Because he ran there, and everybody like huddled. And I watched the Texans guys, and they weren't really blocking. They're kind of occupying space. And then he took it and just branched out. I'm thinking, that's brilliant, because everybody's collapsing to one point. If you get two guys who set the edge, you're gone. And that's what he did. If I'm wrong, I want to know if I'm wrong or not, but I couldn't tell. I've watched the replay. I've watched it over and over again. And Texans aren't going to admit what that is. If it's designed, it's a brilliant job right there.
For me, if you're looking at the special teams as a whole for kickoffs, I think if you're the kickoff team, you need to kind of hesitate and wait rather than have to be the old school mentality of gunners where you're just going down the field. I think with this new era of kickoffs, you have to kind of wait because when you do that, it's kind of – I think it's harder if you're a returner, harder to find a valley to go through to score.
Well, I just know I was on a kickoff return team in college and the kickoff team. And the two guys on the outside, their job was to turn everything back in.
Yep.
Right? And the guys next to them were kind of the same way. So you left them meet the seven guys in the middle to make the play and everything. So now you got guys pitching in from the outside. If they're crashing that hard, just bounce outside and go down the sideline. I've seen it several times across the league. Now, the Cowboy thing yesterday, he just messed up.
Yes.
But then he ran to that point, and like nine guys were waiting on him. And he did that. When he did that flip, I stood up. I was like, holy cow. And then he took off down the field. That was well done. But, again, also we talk about Stonehouse, going back to the part about that. We talked about earlier. They got to teach him hang time. I mean, he was out kicking his coverage 15 to 20 yards. He's got to stop doing that. Has to.
I agree. Let's squeeze Jason's call in real quick before we go to the break. Jason, what's up?
Hey, look, this fan base drives me crazy. There'll be lots of these guys, I want to say 75%, will never like Levis because he's from Kentucky.
Yep, yep.
What a lot of this fan base wants, they want the Vols to play in orange on Saturday, head west on 40, and then suit up in two-tone blue on Sunday. And that's a dumb way to look at it, but that's what they want. So there you go. That's
but
my
Jason,
take.
Jason, what do you want?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want, buddy?
I want good players. I don't care where they're from. But that's not the way some of this fan base is. That's not the way some of this fan base is. Hey, from Kentucky, you know what? I bet it'd be the same thing if it's from Alabama. Because there was a UT quarterback coming out, hey, we should have drafted him. He's from UT.
Right.
I mean, that's dumb.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks for the call, Jason. I mean, there's going to be some of that, but that just shows you the pull of a fan base. But I think for me, like when they drafted Levis, of everybody in that class, I was kind of like, he just wasn't my favorite. And it had nothing to do with where he went. It went to school. It was just of all the ones, like, I wanted them to trade up and get Stroud. Like, that was really the one that I wanted to have happen.
Well, you should have made it happen then. Talking with somebody on that staff in Kentucky in 21, when he had an offensive line,
yeah,
he was good.
You got to give him the right coordinator, which I think Callahan is – turning into.
Well, you talked earlier about the offensive line, and it's a good point. And then 22, the line at Kentucky was not that good. He got battered.
Yeah. Brett Kern's going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the game and also, you know, what you want to ask about Stonehouse. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.